Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, no doubt that a lot of precious metals investors are pretty encouraged seeing the moves in gold and even in the gold stocks over the last about week, little more than a week now. Although some of these, I guess, upward movements are being predicated on war fears, fact of the matter is we are seeing gold outperform U.S. equity markets and even gold stocks outperform U.S. equity markets. We're also hearing of a number of breakout calls for the stocks and for gold. However, you talk to a technician and look, there's still a lot of other breakouts that really need to happen to continue with this upward trend. But driving down to the stocks, one thing I've noticed is that the majors, those are bouncing quite nicely. We even had some good financial reports from a couple of the majors recently. The juniors, still widely a mixed bag, if you ask me. I just look at my screen today and I'm seeing a number of stocks up, but I'm still also seeing a number of stocks fade lower. What's your takeaway from this environment right now, Eric? What are you looking at, especially in the junior space?
Well, first of all, I mean, yeah, like I've showed over the last several weeks, I think, the GDX SPY ratio with RSC breakout, which looked exactly the same like the both major bottoms 2016 and 2018. And that has indeed broken out on the weekly. Then I showed Barrick Gold, and that has made an exact similar pattern pretty much as both major bottoms as well. And that broke out 2 weeks ago, and I was just kept on ramping. So I mean, there's no, I don't know. I'm not a big technician, and obviously there's a lot of people like we want to see this and that. I'm trying to keep it simple. I look for big obvious breakouts, in my opinion. Then it's gonna be, you know, a wild ride, let's say. But to me, this is looking exactly like the two last major bottoms. And I mean, the risks are to the upside, especially in the junior sector. I mean, I don't own Barrick or GDX simply because of valuation. So it's like, I, regardless how the short looks, I would be bullish anyway. But to your point about what I'm looking at, I mean, I've really, you know, trended towards, let's say, you know, the idea, okay, how much can you steal, legally steal? How much can you rob from this market? And right now, I mean, there's a perfect example of, I mean, bank success haven't really gotten any value. I mean, we see good results where you can buy after the good results without taking any risk. So, I mean, that's basically rigged against you, because if results are poor in a poor sentiment environment, you get killed. But even if they are good to great, you barely get any reward for it. So that's just, you know, on paper, that's just risk with little to no reward. So it has been rigged against us. But obviously, that's why you can pick and choose and buy stuff after the fact without taking risk. So from a buyer perspective, long-term perspective, it's the best environment. But if you're already older, which, I mean, I've been long for since 2015, it's extremely frustrating because you get kicked in, basically, and you never get any clue. But that will change when sentiment gets higher. And right now, I mean, I saw Strategic Metals, which is a profit generator, been around for, I don't know, a bunch of years. It's, you know, labeled probably one of the most boring stocks there are. And prospect generators tend to be very cheap, tend to be quite boring because they don't have that excitement factor. But, I mean, when I looked at it, that's trading at the value of their cash and equity positions and pay nothing for 120 projects and 10 utilities. Now, I'm just assuming that these 120 projects, I mean, the average quality of the project is like, you know, a ship sample here and there. So I'm not putting much value on any individual one, but $1 project at least, you know, that's $120. But not even that is pretty much wrecked. And so I think that's an excellent sign of just how risk-off the junior sector is. That bank success trades at a hefty discount. Potential success is basically free. So that's why I've been on hunt, let's say, or focused more and more on multi-asset companies where I can steal a bunch of real estate, that you pay absolutely nothing for that just comes then with, you know, by definition, with upside potential without risk. You know, there are some upkeep costs, etc. So it's like it's not clear-cut 100% risk-free, but pretty much as risk-free as you can get. So if you're paying, let's say, 30% of fair value on a flagship project that Junior has, and it has like four or five decent projects in the pipeline, when times are good, when sentiment is high. I mean, if you started a Silver Junior in 2016, with no drilling, some soil samples, ship samples, whatever, you could probably fetch like $20 to $30 million valuation. I'm not saying that's rational. I'm just saying that's what happens when risk is on and people are willing to pay up and pay premiums for the future, stuff that hasn't happened yet, aka potential. So I'm trying to look at the juniors that when things are gonna be good again, they can spin out JV or do some kind of deal that will monetize their pipeline without taking any risk, without having to do anything, because then you also obviously have the flagship project potential as well, which is probably undervalued. So I mean, let's say you're buying a junior for 10 million. It has a flagship project probably worth like, I don't know, 15 million, and it has four additional assets. Maybe they're worth like 5 to 10 million in a, you know, decent environment. In a good environment, each of those assets might fetch a value of, you know, 10 to 20 million. So imagine what that could do for shareholders if times are good, appetite for projects in the silver gold space are great, and they start, you know, spinning out stuff. That's when you can really supercharge your returns with little risk, simply because you stole those assets for nothing and you get something for them later on.
Well, Eric, just on this concept of multiple project companies, I hear what you're saying, where the flagship project is generally the only thing getting any value, and often it's undervalued, and you're getting all the other projects for free. But there is different kinds of companies where, you know, a prospect generator is going to have a lot of early stage companies, but there's not as much value there, where maybe a production company that has a couple projects, or a developer that has a flagship and maybe two or three other projects, maybe they've moved those further along. But there are companies that just collect a lot of worthless properties over the years, and they go from one area to another area, one jurisdiction to another. How do you separate the quality companies that have extra projects from what, pardon my French, but people call turd collectors, where they just collect a bunch of junk properties? How do you differentiate the two?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It's in some ways, you know, there's a clear-cut answer, but the main thing, of course, is that if start with a company with, you know, good people, preferably skin in the game, and, you know, at least their flagship project being high quality. But then it's like, I mean, what can we control? Price. I mean, like you said, okay, there might be juniors out there, you know, have a lot of dog turd assets, but if you're not paying anything for them, at least you're not taking on risk. I mean, that's that. If you overpay for something that is very questionable, that's a mistake. But then it's just a degree of how good the purchase was, let's say. Because the more you buy for nothing, the better it is, obviously. And if you can spot, I mean, I would start with, like, for example, I like Headwater Gold. I mean, 40% ownership by management. They have like 10 projects. So they, I mean, they have a big incentive of picking good projects. And I mean, the CEO is like ex-Kinross, senior geologist, etc. So it's great people, and they show that they can, they have been good at picking targets, because they have had like two, you know, sort of discoveries just in the last several months. So I'm willing to bet that they are way above average in terms of picking early stage projects that have some value, because they have a big incentive to do so. So it's like, if you can find a few of those, that's great. But if you find some company with, you know, not really a, you know, good people involved, yes, that's probably going to be a lot of dog turd stocks. And let's say I'm not picking on Strategic Metals, but I doubt they have 120 high quality projects. It's just, if you're not paying for them, you're not making a mistake anyway. But for the sake of future returns, you obviously would want, you said advanced assets. Yes, that's a good point. I mean, the more advanced, the more banked value they have that you can buy for free, that's even better. I mean, Ross Beattie did that with his Copper Weekle some decade ago or something. They have picked up a lot of advanced assets, which they got nothing for. So obviously, it's better to pick up a bunch of advanced assets rather than pick up a lot of, you know, early stage exploration assets, because they're not going to get too much value in the market. But if your third asset is, like, you know, probably worth on paper like 50 million and you for free, and the junior overall is trading for 30, then that's obviously a huge thing. But if it was an early stage asset, maybe the value is like 10 million. So that's just third additional future bonus to the price you're paying now. So, I mean, it's a good point, but that's where the art comes into investing. It's like to really, you know, think ahead. Okay, what do you think this asset could fetch a better sentiment environment? Because that's when you would like them to spin it out. So that it's up to the investor. But the main thing, I think, why this risk reward can be so great is that if you're paying nothing for it, you're by definition not taking any risk. Then it just, again, becomes, okay, how much bonus upside do you get when they, you know, can monetize these peripheral assets? So we'd want them to be as high quality as you can, obviously. And again, it's like, you know, flagship asset discounted, everything after that, it's like judging by strategic metals valuation, get nothing for it. So if you pay nothing, even something is all of a sudden good.
Continues to be a sign of the market, though, right, Eric, is where you do need to have a quality asset to get value for it. And it really does sound like you're waiting for that full-on bull market where that rising tide lifts all these boats by trying to acquire these companies that right now have assets that aren't being valued at anything. One thing I do need to caution to is that nothing ever comes for free in this sector that is so capital intensive, right? Because the track of companies, if they're not moving assets forward, if they're not making discoveries, they're slowly bleeding money, and that is their key asset. So one thing to consider, and yeah, hey, you know what, Eric? Acquire all you can right now as we wait for that full-fledged bull market. My initial comment being, again, that it's not everything rising right now. So you still should be a bit more selective, but hey, you said it many times on this show, things are cheap right now. And even after this run, still sounds like you're finding some cheap stocks. Again, take that with a grain of salt, because there have been some stocks that have been outperforming here and riding this wave much higher. It's just not the market right now where everything is moving higher. Eric, thank you as always for your time. Hopefully next week, hey, we're starting to see even more of these juniors push higher. Have a great rest of your week, Eric. We'll chat again next week.
Same. Thanks, guys. And just point that Headwater is a sponsor. I own shares. I own shares of Strategic Metals. They're not a sponsor, but consider me biased in both cases.